Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast, and something, something, somewhere in the world. And you're tuned into the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Today is February the 25th, 2023. And welcome to the show. I'm momentarily waiting on my co-hosts to chime in, so they should be here shortly. Today, we definitely have some great topics to talk about. There's some we didn't get to last week, so we decided we're going to go ahead and bring those topics up this week because we had so much going on last Saturday. Let me go ahead and pull up some of those so you know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, why people hate was one topic, and there's a science behind why people love to hate. Yeah, you probably don't believe it, but there's some people who love to hate, and we're going to get into that and talk about that because, well, you think about it, if you look at stuff that you look at as far as movies, TV shows and everything, you love to hate the villain, right? Okay. But what about hating just a person that's not a character? People take TV really serious, and those villains really serious, you know, they really do. Those bad guys and the soap operas and stuff. And look at how many soap operas have dropped off, but some have still survived. Also, we're going to look into critical race theory, also known as CRT, and the facts about it we didn't get to last week. Well, what are the facts? What is the fear of sharing truth? This is the end of Black History Month, by the way. What's really going on? How come these things are dead as being something that would be harmful, I guess, in education? I mean, in college you can learn it, but in regular public school, there are some who don't want it to be involved in the curricular activity. Why not? Why not just tell the truth? Because there's a lot of people that I know that are like, they never knew. They said, oh, I never knew that. I never knew this, because they were taught that. So why not change the curriculum and correct what is wrong in some of the history books? Why not? Some say because, oh, it's going to make people, you know, angry. It's going to make people fearful and everything. Isn't the term "the truth shall set you free" still out there? I'm just asking. But hopefully when we get to that topic, someone will share their opinion. Top five testimony highlights on the Alex Murdaugh trial. Okay, so for you people who have not been following, there's a murder trial going on of this former lawyer who stole money from his law firm, and his wife and one of his sons wound up killed on their massive property, by the way. I've been checking into this trial recently from time to time, and it don't look too good for Mr. Murdaugh. And then I look at his last name, Murdaugh, M-U-R-D. I'll stop right there. His explanation of what happened isn't looking too good, but, you know, he has the right to go to court and try to defend himself. Interesting trial, to be honest. Very interesting trial. And then in the final hour, our hour at 7 p.m., our special guest, this gentleman has been a guest on our show a little over a year ago. In fact, I think it was exactly a year ago to this date. I'll have to double check that. Mr. Ellison Kendrick has a new single out. The brother is always working, of course, and he had told me once before I wanted him to come on prior to, you know, day. He said, no, I have nothing out recent, but once I do, I will. But you guys have to make sure you're here at the 7 o'clock hour, because at that point, we're going to listen to this great music by this individual, this artist, who he's not keeping R&B alive. He's pretty much reintroducing it, with all due respect, to the fact that R&B is still the, I don't know, is catalyst the or is the right word, or the realism of music? Is it, you know, is it something that some people say is dead and gone, but it's not? R&B is here. You just got to look for it in the right places. You got to search for it. So this brother will let you know where you can find his music, and we're going to play it here on the show. All right, so it looks like some folks are going to be running late. So what I'm going to do is, okay, I see here's one co-host that just popped up. You know, I mean, it is CP time. You know, come on. All right. But without further ado, let me open up the mic to the lady of the house, the one, the only, Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins. Davis.
Hey, Michael. I was doing Bible study and it got away from me. I didn't even realize it was after 6 o'clock. Sorry.
No problem. No problem at all. You know, I figured you show up sooner or later.
especially after all the work that you do. So I figured you weren't going to let all that work go by and not be, you know, here.
You're right.
I knew that. So tell us, how was your week? Because, I mean, before we get into the topic, we have about 50 minutes. I really want to go ahead and do that before our guest comes in. But how was your week, though? I just want to start off something different.
Well, my week was pretty good. I had gout, you know that, so it's better. But still slow, but at least I can walk on it.
Okay.
No, other than that, I just, you know, a lot of rain, good days, bad days. This weather is crazy.
Well, this is Georgia. It is that type of state. It's hot one day, cold the next, right? Rain one day, the snow flurries the next day, and then all of a sudden, boom, 80 degrees. Yeah, by the way, for you people that are listening in, that is very true. And so then that's how come I go back to when people say, there's no such thing as global warming, there's no such thing as climate change. Make up your mind, because something's going on here that's not normal.
Right.
Because every time I look at the news, they keep saying record high, record low. What does record mean? Record means never done before. On this particular day or date or time of year, right?
Right.
Am I right? Okay, so, I mean, I'm not a scientist. I'm just saying, you know, when I keep hearing that record this, record that, I'm like, so you're telling me this never happened before? Yes, Michael, never happened before this time of year. So, could it be part of global warming or climate change? And someone tried to tell me that they said that there's a difference between the two. Okay, so I'll research what's the difference between global warming and climate change. So let's stick with climate change. There's got to be some kind of climate change going on in order for us to have record temperatures every year. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they said it was even snowing in some parts of California that it hadn't snowed before, you know?
And that's my home. California is where I was born and raised. When I was a kid, I remember the one time I recall at school, it had a little bit of light hail or snow drift type thing. And when it started, they let every kid out of the classroom to come outside and run around and have nothing stayed on the ground. It was just the first time we ever saw this white stuff fall from the sky in our lifetimes. They stopped all studying. Come on, kids, enjoy it. And we did. We ran out there and had a great time. Now, I knew it snowed in the mountains. You had to drive miles to get up there to the snow, but who was doing that?
Mm-hmm.
But California has snow or on a normal basis now, or, you know, that's unheard of.
Yeah, sort of like Georgia, though, Michael. Our weather is real quick here as far as winter. You know, it might have a couple of weeks of freezing. Next thing you know, we walking around with little sweaters or nothing, no shirts, no T-shirts on, not shirts, I'm sorry, no jackets or sweaters on, you know, because it's like 70, 75 out, you know, we're barbecuing when everybody else is shoveling snow.
The weather is crazy everywhere. It truly is. The weather is crazy everywhere. But some people are in denial. But one thing I always say, and I just be like, well, according to history, I don't know who all believes in history, but when I was in school, they told me about an era called what? The Ice Age, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you learn about the Ice Age? That's
where
the mammoth, you know, and all of them died, you know, they were frozen and everything. Okay, so that's in our history books, the Ice Age. So what's to say that there's not another age, for lack of a better term, coming for this planet? Who's to say that? I mean, we
nobody
got scientists. Thank you. We have scientists that, you know, are looking at certain things or pulling up stuff from. And by the way, people got to remember, there are certain areas of this planet that scientists do explore and look at. There's things that they're finding that has been frozen for thousands, if not millions of years. Okay? Because due to the fact that what they call global warming, these things are coming to the surface now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Not too
I mean,
long
correct
ago
me if I'm wrong.
Not too long ago in Russia, they dug up a baby frozen mammoth. You know?
Okay.
I guess it had melted enough for, and they said that the tissue and everything was still preserved.
Exactly.
Because it was frozen.
Exactly. Yeah. You could put something in your freezer and leave it there for however long you want to. It may not be good to eat, but it's still going to be intact because it's frozen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not out in the elements of the sun for it to bake and degrade. It's frozen. It's not out in you know, the sunlight. It's not out to heat. It's frozen. That's all you got to know. So just look at the reality of where if there's so much stuff that allegedly, according to history, that was frozen, and now if there is global warming, those things that have been under ice, like you just said, are coming to the surface, they're going to be pretty much intact. Let me give you a prime example. When a person murders a person, they put them inside of a deep freezer, which you've seen or heard of those stories. Guess what? Not hard for them to do a DNA. They found a way because it's been preserved.
Even cloning. Because they're planning on cloning, trying to clone this mammoth, you know. Yeah. So
I don't know how good they'll get away with that one, but you know, I mean, if they want to do try Jurassic Park in 2023, so be it. That's them. They better make sure they know what the hell they're doing. cloning prehistoric animals, I don't think is a good thing to do. Okay, because
well,
a lot of movies
turn out to be true.
Well, the mammoth is the ancestor of what? Of the elephant, right? Elephants are very smart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A mammoth woolly is what they call them. Very much more powerful and bigger. I don't
mm-hmm.
think they want to try this. I don't think. Well, they might try it, but I would not be working at that amusement park. Because that's what they would do is use it as an amusement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why would you want to clone something? And if you were successful, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Put it on display? Treat it like a circus act? And by the way, yeah.
No, but probably cross-breeding, you know, cross-breeding. That's what they try to do. Maybe they'll mix
well,
it with a real elephant. Come up with a different type. I don't know.
I don't know what would be beneficial of doing that. I mean, because we don't use that. We don't eat elephant. We don't use elephants for food consumption. Thank God. We don't use elephants in the United States for nothing but for entertainment, to be honest. We really don't. We don't use them in fields and everything like we do oxes and stuff like that or other countries do. Now, some countries do use elephants, train them to pull things, this and the other. But here in the United States, We don't do none of that. It's just the curiosity, I guess, of saying that, well, look, we took the mammoth, woolly, and a prehistoric animal, and we used the DNA from that and that and the other, and we came up with our own thing. And you know, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, Janet, because there are a lot of animals that have been crossbreed to make other species. And that's something we need to have a conversation about on the show, too. There's a lot of dog breeds that are not always done. Now, dogs are dogs, right? Dogs are going to breed with dogs. But there's a lot of intentional crossbreeding. So you wonder why. Interesting. Very interesting. All right. So let's get to our topics. We did miss a few last week. And I hate that we did, but, you know, we had a lot going on. So I want to look at the one as far as why people hate. Now, you brought up something I found interesting was a article based on that. And I'm trying to open it up. Give me a moment here. I think I'm on the right screen. A few more. Wait a minute. Now, see, I can't find it.
I reposted it down further.
Okay, I'm looking for it. I'll just share the effects of. Okay, I see that. Critical race theory. Oh, okay, here it is. Okay. All right, you guys, hold on. Why people hate, the science behind why we love to hate. I didn't think that there was a research on this, but there really is.
There's a research on everything.
But I'm glad I brought that to your attention. I'm glad that you found it, okay? I truly appreciate it. It says, why people hate, the science behind why we love to hate. So this is a little long-winded, so bear with me a little bit. I might break up and see what your thoughts are. But have you ever heard the cliche, no bond is stronger than two people who hate the same person? It turns out there is actually some truth to that statement. Despite hating people being a socially unacceptable act, on the few occasions when people have the guts and or strong emotion to motivate them to share their negative opinions about a person, it often pays off in the form of new or stronger connections. Research has found that people form stronger bonds when they are able to talk about their dislike towards someone else than when they both have positive feelings towards someone. The question is, why does an action as disrespectful as spewing negativity about other people increase hateful individuals' quantity and quality? Now, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it goes on to say the very emotions that fuel hate. If you are a generally positive, forgiving person, the concept of hating others, much less someone you barely know, is a foreign concept to you. The majority of the time, people don't say hateful things because they are a cruel, judgmental, antisocial person. Instead, common feelings and psychological needs bring out the worst behaviors in some individuals and prompt them to say negative statements about another person. Here are four of the primary reasons why people hate others. Wow. Four primary reasons. I thought there would be more, to be honest. Okay, so people want a scapegoat.
Number one.
When you are struggling, huh?
I said number one. Yeah.
People want a scapegoat. When you are struggling, whether it's problems at work, low self-esteem, conflicts in your relationships, etc., it feels much better to funnel your negative energy into blaming someone else than to confront your own role and your problems. a lot of people join hate groups. And I didn't realize there was many hate groups out there, but I guess there are, because it allows them to funnel the blame for all of their problems into another group of people while being supported by a group of people who share their beliefs and make them feel like they belong. That's one. Second one, they're lonely and seeking connections, even hateful ones. Many other people join hate groups because it fills their need for friendship and belonging. You don't need to do or be anything special. All you have to do is be negative towards people or other people. It feels easy. Likewise, some people find it easier to make connections by putting others down and seeing who agrees, then to prove to people that they are interesting and valuable companions. Okay, here's the next one. The fear, they fear the unknown. When someone new enters a group, particularly if they are in a position of influence, many people immediately begin gossiping negative things about the person because they fear how that individual will change their group dynamics. Sharing hatred toward the new person is a way for the existing group to strengthen their bonds in defense against the outsider. Now, wait a minute. That one throws me off. So
that didn't throw me
you
off.
Join a hate group. But so they join a hate group, and then the haters in the hate group don't like the new member. Something about that.
They
okay.
It, you don't really be a new member. They treat you like an outcast because that happened to me when I first moved to Georgia. You know, people lied, did all kinds of crazy things. So, I know that's true.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was gonna press charges against some of them for defamation of character. Yeah.
Oh, okay, because that they fear that that individual will change their group dynamics, right? You're a new member, right? So they're feeling you out, basically, and don't like where you might be.
And I thought it was
changing.
Because I was from New York, you know, I was getting the cold shoulder, and you know, I still never really got to the bottom of why they lied on me, but. You know, they had me stealing out of people's purses, all kinds of crazy things.
You're a northerner. You're a northerner. You're not human. You're from a different. You're from a different region of the country. You're not human. You're a northerner. You know, you're not a southerner. You're different. Okay, you don't think south. I guess that's what they're saying. Okay, their insecurities get. The best of them. Hatred also surfaces when people are highly insecure. Then they'll compare themselves to other people, and when they come to the conclusion that the other person may be better than them, the conclusion that the person may be better than them, or possesses traits that they don't want to acknowledge that they also share, people may speak out against that person to project their anxiety onto them.
That has happened to me also. I feel like I have a label on my back, you know. The same people, you know, you try to do your job and they rake you over the coals because they're afraid you're going to make them look bad, you know. So instead of doing their job the right way, they want to discredit a person.
And there's more, but just based on that, because the insecurities get the best of them, as you just said, that you've experienced that. I know I have. I think many people have, but you don't retaliate in that way. But how do you handle that when you sense that? How did you handle that?
I ended up, after my boss gave me a bad review and said I had to be more tactful and less confrontational when it came to upper management, and these weren't even upper management people. I ended up going to the vice president of the company, and I talked to him and explained everything to him. He put me to a test, had me do various things like my own status, conducting meetings, you know, doing different things. And when it was all said and done, I got my review rewritten, a high rating. I got a raise. And then in front of everybody, he said if he had one or two more of me, he didn't need any of them. So, you know, that created even more enemies. But I didn't care because I got something good out of it.
Okay.
Yeah. A promotion. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's good. All right. I'm responding to a text message. One second. Okay. So let me move on to the next one.
Did you ever have it happen to you, Michael?
Oh, as far as what? Yeah, of course. I work in retail. That's a daily thing. I've had where individuals have accused me of stuff, and then I'm like, well, you know, you can take a look at my record. You can look at, you know, you can look at all kinds of stuff. You could look at the tapes and look at where this is what I was doing at this time. Well, when I'm saying that, where they accuse me of not doing my job, I'm like, look, you guys got cameras on me all day, every day. You could spend a whole month and see I'm always doing something. One individual, actually, who was a supervisor of mine, they just became a supervisor. They didn't do a damn thing. And they knew I knew they weren't doing nothing. So they looked at me as a threat. That was their insecurity, see. They knew I was a threat because I knew them because I worked with them at another company. And I knew why they got fired from that company. But I never said anything about her being fired. See, I never told them she was fired. No. I didn't have to say that she was fired. Only thing I figured, you know.
Got the best of her.
Well, the thing is that where, you know, sometimes you don't have to say anything. A person will definitely give themselves up in their own way, right? Their laziness, this, that, and the other. And this individual had worked in like three other departments and was not satisfied. And why they gave her the position that she had over the department I was in, I didn't know. By the way, I did not even apply for being the supervisor at that time. And she did. When I found out she was going to be the supervisor, I was like, oh, Lord, here we go. I'm thinking, I know this girl. She is not going to be able to do it. I work with her at another company. But I never said anything, see?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that where when she would try to come to me in a way that she should have known I was not going to take that shit, I was like, no. B, that ain't the way it work over here. Because she told me prior to her coming over, she said, y'all ready for me? And in my mind, I'm like, wait a minute. Did she just say that shit? Are we ready for you? Girl, I know you. I told her, I said, no, are you ready for us? Because we already got a, you know, we already got a down pat. You don't do your job. You lazy as hell. I already know you. I've worked with you before. Step down. She stepped down because she couldn't handle it. But when she called me to the office with another, with really with her supervisor, and tried to chastise me, oh, it was on. It was on. I'm like, wait a minute. You go out there in the parking lot on the clock, and take a whole hour lunch break, and you on the clock. I don't know who else does that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You going to throw me under the bus? Trust me. I got a train, sweetheart. I got a train of shit on you.
Yeah, but a lot of times they get mad when you turn the page on them, because that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
the supervisor was talking about firing this girl because she didn't call in. So I just told her, I said, if you can't get somebody, call our department. I'll give them the message. And she said, she went to the boss and said, am I in trouble? I'm going to get fired because Janet says. So then she come running up to me telling me that was her job. I said, well, did you do your job? I said, you know, because you didn't. And so she went and reported me to HR.
Right. You got to follow protocol. Protocol. Okay, so let's move on to the next one. That was their insecurities to get best of them. For you folks that are listening in, we're looking at why, or we're speaking on why people love to hate and what makes this happen. Okay, so we already did insecurities. Okay, understand the bonding power of hatred. Now, that's interesting, too. Let me read this out for you. Expressing dislike for other people is controversial. We're taught from a young age that you should only say nice things about other people. So when someone says something negative, it catches other people's attention and draws them in. If people share the negative opinions, it opens the ability for people to form connections in three key ways. Okay, let's look at this here. Define social lines. Humans desire structure and certainty in their social lives. To establish that, people naturally divide into groups, social circles where everyone feel like they belong with one another, and outgroups, people who exist outside of social circles and are typically not welcome into them. When people declare their dislike for others, it helps people understand the boundaries between social circles. This is a powerful motivator for people to form bonds because it satisfies their need to feel connected to others. Do you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let me already this scapegoat. I clicked on something I didn't want to click on.
Mutual dislike invokes stronger response than mutual like.
Here we go. Now, here we go, the next one. Mutual dislike evokes a stronger response than mutual like. In one study, people were shown a video of two people having a conversation in which the man is politely hitting on the woman. After being asked if they liked or disliked the man, they were told they were going to meet people who shared their opinion of them and asked how likely they were going to get along with the person they met. People who had a negative opinion of the man were far more likely to say they would get along well with someone who shared their negative opinion than those who had a positive opinion. Wow. They will get along more likely with the people that share the negative than the positive.
Wow.
That's crazy. And you know, I mean, I know this really has nothing to do with here nor there, but it's kind of funny because, I mean, you look at TV shows, it's all negative. Everything on television is negative. I mean, Desperate Housewives of Atlanta, you know. And then the next day you hear folks, did you hear what so-and-so said about so-and-so? Oh, I'm glad she slapped her. Girl, don't you know I would have all negative. Everything's negative. Nothing positive. I won't say nothing, but 99.9% of stuff that we call entertainment is negative. It really is.
Right.
I'm going to share something in the moment of what I mean, because even some of the biggest blockbuster movies, and this week I binge-watched a few of them, And I was like, wow, that's amazing. And I'm sure there's something that you guys probably didn't catch, but I'm going to tell you what I caught. Okay, so let me finish out this. Sharing hatred can be an expression of vulnerability. Research shows that to form lasting, intimate bonds with people, you have to be vulnerable with them. That is, you have to share your authentic, unfiltered feelings. Instead of being negative toward another person because of the internal struggles described above, you may share that you hate someone for a valid personal reason, such as they hurt you or hurt someone and or something you care about. This instance is a moment of vulnerability because you are sharing a difficult experience which can lead others to hate the other person on your behalf and bond with you. That happens, right?
Yes.
They don't have to know that person. They're just going by what you say. Correct? You ever experienced that?
Oh, yeah. I've had to confront someone because of something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think we all have at some point in time in our lives. Let me go ahead and finish this out because we're at a 15 minutes before our guest is going to join us. Okay, so bonds of hatred come at a cost. Though there are some bonding benefits to spewing negativity about other people, don't try to use this tactic to make friends because its risk far outweighs any good that comes from it. Be aware of these potential consequences of speaking poorly about others. To know if someone else is like the same person as you, one of you has to make the first move and say something negative. This can come at a serious cost to your reputation of people around you if they do not agree with your negative opinions. Researchers have discovered that when we hear someone talking about other people, we impose the content of what's said into the speaker. It's a phenomenon called spontaneous trait transference. And to understand how it works, pretend you and I met at a conference and are having a conversation like this. This is you. Hey, Vanessa, what did you think of the last speaker? This is me. He was so boring and dry. I had trouble keeping myself awake. This can go one of two ways. If you also thought the speaker was boring, we would bond over our shared dislike of him. But if you thought the speaker was interesting or at the very least deserving of a decent review, you would hear my opinion and think that I am boring and dry because your brain would project my statements onto me. It might not be instantaneous or something you're fully conscious of, but how you feel about me would decrease in response towards my negativity towards another person. On the flip side, if I raved about how intelligent the speaker was and how I loved his energy, your brain would also project those traits onto me and give you a more positive impression of me. Another danger of sharing negative opinions towards other individuals, particularly when you are with people you don't know well, is that you create a negative emotional expression of yourself. People only remember a small portion of what you say. However, they develop concrete memories of how you made them feel. If your words evoke anger, frustration, disgust, and other cynical emotions in other people, they're going to associate those feelings with you. Most people mm-hmm. don't like feeling those ways and may be less eager to see you in the future because you bring down their emotional state. Bottom line, given these risks, unless your hatred is founded in a socially acceptable ideological belief, comes from a personal experience of being hurt or could be otherwise justified
by most people, it is best to keep it to yourself.
Amen.
I didn't know
so
that there was a research
question
on that, but sure.
Yeah. Have you ever talked with someone and said some things and you wish you could take it back because you didn't trust that person enough to really keep that between the two of you?
I'm pretty sure that. In fact, I know for a fact it did. Yeah. Where you shared a secret and that person told it?
Yeah, or you thought, you just felt like they would because you didn't trust them. You wish you hadn't have said it because you didn't want it to go any further, but you didn't know how that person really was that you made the comment with, you know, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've done it. I mean, I'm 61 years old. I mean, when you get to this age, and I mean, I know you're older than I am, but yeah, I think we've all experienced that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of life. You know, you like, oh, wow, what the hell did I just do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're second-guessing yourself. But you learn from experience, see,
mm-hmm.
because
I'm
not going
to
lie.
Say something that you can't take back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm.
Right. You have to. You have to be very,
stand by your word.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I'm at work, I mean, there are things that customers say towards me, and I jokingly say to some of my coworkers, I said, I'm starting to hate people. I said that one day. I said, I'm starting to hate people, but I was laughing when I said it, and they laughed too. I said, now you guys don't take it out of context. I said, I'm not saying I hate people in general, just hate what they do. See,
mm-hmm.
I really don't hate anybody. I just hate what
dislike.
People do.
Mm-hmm.
Dislike, right. That's what I mean. I just dislike what they do. Because if they take the time to think, they wouldn't say or do the dumb things that they do. That's all. People don't
mm-hmm.
read anymore. Again, it just boggles my mind. You walk into a store. Those signs on those aisles are not for decoration. It's direction. If you just take the time to read it. But then, if you look at, there's a fact that there's a large percent of the people who don't know how to read. Seriously?
Correct.
There's a, in my department, there's a TV brand, and people are like, how much is this Hennessy? I said, what? The Hennessy TV. I'm like, Hennessy? Ain't no damn Hennessy TV over here. But they're trying to say Hisense.
Yeah.
You look
yeah.
at the spelling. It's H-I-Sense. Hisense. Not sense like in quarters, dimes, and nickels. Like
mm-hmm.
common sense. Use your high sense and try to pronounce it. Okay, I'm not going to go that far. But it just boggles my mind that people don't read, don't want to try.
You know,
they'll ask me.
I said they'd like being spoon fed. They'd rather you just tell them where it's at or take them to it instead of them trying to figure it out.
I don't mind.
In the store until it's the last resort. And then if
Janet,
I can't find it, then I'll come ask somebody. Can you, you know,
Janet,
direct me
I don't
that.
Have a problem. I do not have a problem taking a person to a product. But what kills me is when they ask you the question, and you give them the answer, and then they want to guess, second guess your answer. I need a charging cord for my iPhone. Y'all got them? Yes, ma'am. Let me show you. Here's your choices right here. I'll take it and put it in their hand. They'll look at the whole package, and they'll be like,
you
sure this is
the right one for an iPhone?
No, hold on. You sure this is going to fit for an iPhone? Janet, on the package.
My iPhone cord is so different from the others.
Look, iPhone cords are called Lightning. All right. Now, there are other companies that make it. But it will say it's a Lightning cord. It says it on the package, okay? It says it will say iPhone, iPad. That's what it fits. It says it right on the front of the freaking package. And I'm like, ma'am, do you see, or sir, you see right there it says iPhone, iPad, because Apple makes this particular type of connector. So this is compatible. I mean, you don't have to buy the Apple brand. There is a, you know, a cheaper version. But they clearly put on the package, compatible for. And they're like, okay, now you sure, huh? I'm like, just go ahead and buy it now, and I'll open up the package, and I'll plug it in for you. How's that? Okay, so you'll be comfortable with it. Okay, I'm sorry. I mean, it's just read. And if it ain't right, bring it back. But I'm serious. I'm just amazed that, and trust me, I understand. Older people, I give them the benefit of the doubt because they're new to technology. Most, I get folks in their 80s, and my daughter bought me this, and I really don't know this stuff. Okay, sir, I'm gonna work with you. I get it. I'm gonna educate you. But the young folks, I'm like, come on, y'all. You all the ones who want the high dollar stuff.
Prize that I know how to maneuver, you know, around the computer and the phones and, you know, and know Word or, you know, Excel or PowerPoint. And, you know, they were like, wow, why? You know, like it's a big deal, but it's not, you know. I'm just always been wanting to figure things out. But they look at my age and don't understand why I know about this stuff.
I get that. But the thing is that what I'm saying is that where, you know, we were talking about hatred and everything, and attitudes and this and the other. But the whole thing is I'm saying that we all know that, you know, we're in a time where technology thinks for us. We depend on technology for everything. You and I are old enough to remember where having a TV remote was fantastic, okay? That was a big deal back in the day, where you could sit on your ass and change the channel.
It was a big deal just to get four channels instead of three.
Right, but I challenge anybody that can tell me 10 phone numbers by heart, let alone 5. Phone numbers by heart.
I can.
Or has a phone book. Okay, not the one in your phone, not the one in your laptop, but just, you know, just phone numbers. If your phone shuts off, you can't get access to a person because you don't know their phone number by heart. That's how we are. You know, we're really at a disadvantage with technology, if you really think about it. You still got to go back to that backup system. What if my phone dies? What if I lose my phone? How do I contact anybody? Should I have a regular paper written phone book in my glove box?
The phone number. That's
what I'm saying. If you can't memorize it, have it jotted down somewhere if that were to happen, because now you're at a loss. But it goes back to where we're you know, and technology is great, fantastic. But we can't let it be our life support system. Now, income tax time is here, you guys. 5 more minutes. Income tax time is here. And guess what? People are buying, shopping. Now, I don't know your personal business, Jen. I don't know if you owe or if you pay or whatever. But if you were getting money back, would you invest into I don't know, paying off some bills if you have them, or just go out and splurge all that money?
Probably a little bit of both. But I don't have, I'm at an age where I don't have to file anymore.
Okay. Good. That's good. Okay. Because I'm watching people come in and splurge those income tax checks, and I know they are. Because I'm looking at the stuff that they're buying. I'm like, wow, okay. Now, we only got about 4 more minutes, but I have to share this. This is so funny to me. A couple came in, and they wanted to buy a game console. And they said, do you have the PS4? I said, nope. Got the PS5? No, the 5. I said, no. You got the 4? I said, yeah. Okay. I want to get the PS4. I said, all right. So I go back and get it. Then the girl says, well, the wife says, oh, you have that game with the goggle thing? You know, I said, the Oculus, or better yet, the Meta. Yeah. I said, yeah. Told her that, well, there's 2 different versions. One costs, you know, this amount. One costs the other amount. It's based on the gigabytes in it. She said, well, over here it says, I said, no, ma'am, that's an accessory for the game. But that's the game right there. I'm like, ma'am, that's the accessory. We do not put the games out on the floor. But doesn't that say, I'm getting pissed off right now, okay? Because I'm like, you really trying me, ma'am, you know? Because I'm explaining to you clearly, the games are not in the cases. This store does not allow the consoles to be on the floor because people are breaking into the cases at different stores and stealing them, literally. I explained it to her again. So I, and she said, okay, I'll go ahead and get it. I said, now, do you want the $399 one or the $499 one? What's the difference? I said, the gigabytes, storage, memory. What are you talking about? I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm going through this. So I explained that to her, right? Okay, I'll get it.
Mm-hmm.
I go get it for her. Scan her card, declines. She asked me, well, why is it declining? I don't know. I'm not your bank. See, that's frustrating. You know how much money you got from your income tax check. You know how much was deposited in there. You should know your limit. You already bought another game over here. And maybe your bank is saying, hey, look, you normally don't spend like this. This is why we're,
that's,
you know
it.
What I'm saying? Those types of things.
That's
happen.
It. That's it. The bank, if you made a big purchase and then you go try to make another one, sometimes they'll think it's fraud. And so they'll put it on hold until they can contact you.
Correct. So now she got me tied up, and people are standing around saying, hey, can you help me with this? And I can't help your ass. I'm still trying to figure this one out. But here's the thing that got me. They bought the game, and it only comes with one controller, okay? I said, oh, does it come with two? I said, no, it comes with one. Okay, so we got to buy a second one. I said, yep, you're going to play with 2 people. They got 3 boys. The baby boy fussing, hollering, I want my own controller. I want my own controller, mama. I want my, okay, baby, hold on. Go ahead and pick him out a controller, too. I'm like, wait a minute. I ain't never seen a game console where you could use 3 controllers at the same damn time. You mean to tell me you're going to spend another $67 for another controller?
So he can hold it while the other ones are playing. That's her baby.
No. No. No.
This is mother logic, not man logic.
What happened to Sharon? Oh, Lord. It's now, you know.
She want to keep her baby happy.
Now, okay, let me ask you this. Would you have done that? Spend another $67 just to have a...
No. I would have had to explain to my child that it's only for 2, And so when one stops, they just have to take turns. But it won't be three controllers because we don't need it.
Exactly.
But
that's what I see. I see people spending money senselessly, and I'm like, why? To shut the baby up? To make them happy for a moment? What
mm-hmm.
are you teaching your child? Seriously, what are you teaching your child when it comes to the value of money?
You know how many babies even know how to use a cell phone more than an adult? They know how to Google and everything else and don't even know how to read, but they know how to push those buttons.
That's true. You're definitely right.
Some of them don't even know how to walk, and they know how to push the buttons.
That's true. They know how to play the games, and they know how to look at the videos. That's very true. You're definitely on point on that one. Let me go ahead and let you all know that right now the time is 7:01 p.m. Eastern Time here on the TMGS. We're going to go ahead and take a quick music break. We'll be right back because our special guest has arrived. And for the next hour, we're going to listen to the music of Mr. Ellison Kendrick and actually let you guys hear his new single. I think it's a great song. I love it. I enjoy it. So, by the way, Bring It Boy, good day, Mr. Michael. And to Janet, okay, hey, Bring It Boy, how you doing? Let's go ahead and get it started. We'll be right back. You listen to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Coming up next, our guest, Mr. Ellison Kendrick. We'll be right back.
Beautiful thing, it's gonna be like your dreams. Let's make this a night you remember. It ain't over till the fat girl sings. You can put some rings on, get your makeup and your hair done, slip that sexy dress on, and make our tunes repeat the song. You can paint your nails too, but don't forget your dancing shoes. Can't wait to get you in my car, well you know I'm gonna rock you. I got your attention, cause I got on my black suit. No standing on the wall, I don't care at all. I got you in the mood, cause I got on my black suit. To VIP, you can sit and have a drink with me. The conversation's good, we laughing on the dance floor to the beat. Baby girl, let me take your hand, turn around, let me see you dance. Your booty so sweet, you touching on me is more than I can stand. I love it when you get too on, I'm feeling like I'm on one. We can put these drinks down and make the DJ play your song. Cause I got on my black suit. No standing on the wall, I don't care at all. I got you in the mood, cause I got on my black suit. Control of me till I don't even even know what's coming over me.
I got to know what's going on, baby, after the club.
Don't be shy, don't be acting cute. Help me with the style of my black suit.
When we step up in the club,
yeah,
and everybody's staring at you.
Staring at
you.
I got no attention.
Welcome back to TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL. That's Ellison Kendrick with Black Suit. You know what, Janet? I almost put on mine for this show. I only got one.
That's a beautiful song.
Great song, you know, and I've been listening to it all week long because it's like, wow, I heard some stuff in this song I didn't catch the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I heard some stuff I didn't catch the first time. So, look, you know, without further ado, let's bring our guests on to the show. You guys, please put your hands together for Mr. Ellison.
Thank you to the audience. Thank you.
Okay. Ellison, what's up, my brother? Happy Saturday to you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. How you doing, Jenny?
Great. I love the song Michael just played. Gotta let you know. Beautiful.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, you know what? As I was just saying, that we're, of course, we're going to listen to the new single. We're going to play some more of the stuff that you shared with us before. Ellison has been a guest of ours before, and I've always appreciated him being on the show and him coming back again. I really love the new song, which we're going to get to again. But Black Suit, as I was listening to it just recently, I heard stuff I didn't catch before. And the way that you did it, you know, I'm serious. I didn't catch the got on my black suit, the little stutter part there. I didn't catch I didn't catch all that. And I was like, and you did it at certain segments, you know what I'm saying?
That's structure in the song.
You didn't wear it out. You didn't do it over and over again. You did it just at the key points. That's song structure, man. And I just have to share that with you because I had on my earbuds. I'm like, wait a minute. Can I back it up? Did he just do that?
I appreciate
that's
that.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks for listening. That's really listening. I appreciate it. Yeah, a lot of work goes into that, and you hope somebody, you know, pays attention or makes a difference. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, you know, well, I've always been the type of person of where I try to hear every instrument, every sound, every note in every song. A friend of mine used to say, man, you pick out stuff like with Earth, Wind & Fire. I would hear, you know, stuff like that. But that's what I appreciate about artists like yourself, is that you take the time to look at what, you know, to kind of like put things in there that maybe it will take a second listen, right, to really appreciate what you're missing, you know. And it keeps building and it keeps growing. There's probably stuff I still haven't figured out, and I might listen to it again and be like, and I never heard that either, you know. So that's great. It makes you want to hear the song over and over again. How things been going with you, though, man? I mean, it's been about a year since you've been on the show. I know you've been busy. I've seen some of your clips of shows. How's things been going?
Things have been going really, really, really well. You know, it's just, you know, the bounce back from the whole COVID thing, so we've been getting busy, and you know, shows are picking up. You know, performances are more now than ever. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful to just be back out there working and connecting again. So I'm blessed.
Fantastic. Now, I got to tell you guys something. I posted something. I was responding to what somebody said about vocalists, in a comparison. And Ellison corrected me. Ellison, now I have to give you this.
Did I?
We were talking about comparison of vocalists, who's better than this person and everything. And I responded, I said, Minnie Riperton, the best in this and the other. But you are good friends with Betty Wright, correct?
No, she's my grandmother, actually.
I'm sorry?
Godmother.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Then it's not friendship, it's family. I apologize.
Yeah.
But I made a comparison. I said Minnie Riperton. But there's not many female artists that could hit those octaves. I forgot, to be honest, that on the song No Pain, that Betty could hit those octaves. Only other two that I've known in my lifetime have been, of course, Mariah Carey and Minnie Riperton.
Mm-hmm.
But you brought up a good point. You can't really make a comparison all the time of artists. Can you share that more with us of what you meant by that, though?
Yeah, wow, that was a while ago. What I was trying to say is that a lot, oftentimes, our community, we tend to pit each other against each other as if there's not room for everybody to be out there. So we always compare, this one is better than this one, and that one is better than this one, and, you know, he can do it, and this would never be able to do that. And I just think that's not necessary, because a lot of the other communities don't do that. When I go online and I read, I never hear anyone say the Pink thing's better than, you know, Taylor Swift. I never see that. So I wonder why we don't allow, being that they all can do it, because, you know, it's not only those people that you named. I think it's Shantae Moore. She can also do that. I've heard, what is her name, Lauryn Hill, be able to hit the note. So it's like a lot of people have that ability. So why not leave the space open and then just give everybody credit for how they did it, or when they did it, or what effect it had in that song, instead of saying, you know, she's better than that person and da da da. You know, we always do that. We did it with Mariah and Whitney. I think we do it with Brandy and Monica. We do it with the rappers, and it's the rapper females, and they can't get along. So it's like, I don't know. I don't see that much in the other, you know, other communities. So I just wish we wouldn't do that as much and just celebrate that they can at all.
That's a damn good point, because on social media, I always see where they put these blocks up of which one, A or B. And they'll put Whitney Houston, Luther Vandross, Teddy Pendergrass against these new artists. I'm like, are you serious? Of course I'm going to pick A, because that's my general, okay? I'm going to pick A. But really, there's not a comparison, because they're different generals. And most of them, a lot of them are different styles, okay? Different eras. But
exactly.
I see
it
your
all
point.
Depends on what you like. Exactly. It's like, depends on what you like. It's all relative to what you grew up listening to, what's your style. Because, you know, a lot of people may not prefer, you know, Whitney Houston. Or, you know, they prefer Jasmine Sullivan or something like that. And they'll go, she sings better than her. And that doesn't make any sense, because they're not even the same kind of singer. We do it a lot. If you don't do a certain amount of runs in a song, they'll say, oh, well, she can't sing as good as this person. So I always reflect to, like, say, Anita Baker or Chaka Khan or Luther. They didn't do a lot of runs in their singing, but they're all amazing at what they do. So if we discount the singers that don't do all these, you know, vocal acrobatics as not being able to sing, we would eliminate majority of the people that are out there, you know, that we admire. So I just think we got to, like, dial that back a little bit and start to celebrate everybody for what they're able to do. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Well, of course, we're going to listen to more of your music, but I have to ask this question, because based on the Super Bowl, and, I mean, you can give your opinion of what you thought about it, because there's a lot of talk about the Super Bowl show, comparisons with past Super Bowls. Would you agree there's a difference between a singer and a performer? Because I believe there's a difference. To me, Janet Jackson is a performer.
I think she's both.
She's more. She sings, but to me, she's more of a performer.
I have a. Then again, this is only it's only special to our community. It's only, we only do this. To me, I think a singer, if you're able to sing a song and on the right notes, and you can hear the pitch and you can do the things that's supposed to be done in that, in those signatures and in that key and in the right way, and it's not wrong, then I think that you can, I don't understand why singing only has to be at a gospel level or a certain level to be, because let's do Sade. She, I love everything she does, but she doesn't do any of the things that we call singing. So when I hear, say, Janet Jackson, when she does sing live, it's right. It sounds like the, you know, the music and the song is right. So I would consider her, Diana Ross is the same way. She doesn't do all that stuff, but the songs are right. So I don't discount the fact that their level may be different, the skill level may be different, but I don't call them not being able to sing. I call her like Britney Spears or someone who can't hear, like me, even Keisha Cole, when you play the song, she can't sing it in the key, she doesn't hear it. To me, that's someone who can't sing. So that's I kind of feel differently about that. But I think people that can sing and perform, she's a better performer than a singer. And Beyonce is kind of equal at both. But I wouldn't discount her and say she's not a singer. Yeah, I think she does both, but her performance level, like Michael Jackson, his performance level is better to me than his singing. That's all. But I wouldn't compare him to, let's say, Luther.
Right.
You know, so that's how I feel about it. Yeah, it's a different,
oh, no, you can't, you can't compare. Luther, as you just said, Luther was just a different. And even the Teddy Pendergrass, I mean, they didn't have the same voicing.
Right.
I mean, they were both balladeers, but, you know, they just had a whole different way or style of performing, for one. Luther, you know, was more laid back. Teddy was a little more active on stage. And that's like I might say as far as singer versus performer. Now, and I know, Janet, you may have some questions, but what I look at it, where when you look at a Janet or you look at a Michael, and everything. In my opinion, I believe that the majority of time when Michael would have the headset on, it was lip sync because he had the coolest way of doing it, because he would put his hand over the microphone like he's adjusting it, like, you know, for sound type thing, you know. But you can't expect this man to be out there performing and singing at the energy he will give you a show and not be out of breath. Okay.
Right.
When he got a real microphone in his hand, that's when you heard Michael sing it.
Right.
If you notice the video, you'll see when he has on the headset, he's working, he's performing. So to me, that's pre-recorded vocals, because he can't do all that dancing and moonwalking and this, that, and the other and still be able to and not be out of breath, especially when he has a whole tour ahead. So that's
every
understandable.
Night. Yeah.
You know, every night. So I have to give that to him. Janet, do you have any questions or comments?
Well, I've said earlier that I really love the song Black Suits, and I'm looking forward to listening to your new single. And I was wondering, I know you mentioned that you are touring. Will you be coming in playing in the Atlanta area anytime soon?
I'm really trying to do that. I've been trying, you know, to get the right spot for me, and, you know, and something's always coming up, but I want to get to Atlanta. My family lives there, so I would like to come to Atlanta. Yeah, I'm working on that for sure.
No, because I sure would like be able to come to your concert.
Thank you. I would like that. I really would.
So let me ask you, what is your thought process on the Super Bowl halftime show? What did you thought, or what did you think about the whole thing? There's been a lot of negatives, and there's a lot of positive, too. What's your thought about the whole thing?
Well, I'm a fan, so I'm a little biased. I don't understand, like, again, the comparison. People are only you're only disappointed by something if you're comparing it to something. But if you come in, you know, watching it for what that person brings, I've always known Rihanna to be a laid back, you know, cool, you know, very fashion forward, very avant-garde kind of performance. So it wasn't going to be a Beyonce twerking, you know, cheerleader kind of thing. So I don't understand. There's not a video that she ever has out where you say, wow, Rihanna really danced her butt off. No one ever, you know, none of her fans expected her to do that. But you do expect her to look nice. There's something very avant-garde about it. It's either her hair or her clothes or the stage moving and all the puffy clothes. Mm-hmm. That's what we, you know, expect from her. It's like she's more like a guy girl. She's more like Kanye West and Jay-Z performing than it would be Beyonce. So I don't get the why everybody's so confused and saying, even with the popular sportscaster Stephen A. saying what he said,
mm-hmm.
you know, was so disrespectful, and I was like, wow. So you're just not even going to give her a chance to bring what she brings to, you know, to the stage. But no one did that mm-hmm. to Katy Perry and Madonna. No one ever said that about her. They said, well, she wasn't as good as Madonna, so it wasn't interesting. They don't do that. But we always find a way to cut each other down before we even get a chance. That was historic for her to get out there pregnant and levitating on the stage and, you know, to not perform in years and come back and do what she did and, you know, and not even have a guest and then bring in more ratings than the actual game. To me, focus on the positive stuff. Like, and then from that, she made so much money and then it, you know, it boosts her sales and I'm like, look at the good side. Why are we talking about why she didn't dance like Beyonce? I'm confused. So it just makes mm-hmm. me sad because every time we should be celebrating that a black girl did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, find something.
You know what I found interesting about the Super Bowl, though, the opening of it? And mm-hmm. I don't want anybody to start texting me and be like, oh, you're being racist. But I found it interesting that the two first performances, because it is Black History Month, was mm-hmm. Shirley Ralph singing
mm-hmm.
what? Lift Every Voice and Sing, the American National
mm-hmm.
Anthem. I do not recall that ever being done at a Super Bowl show. Ever.
I got chills. I thought that was awesome. Like,
that
wow.
blew me away.
Wow.
And then you follow it up with Babyface, right? You follow it up with Babyface, and then you bring a country and Western artist on to sing the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, mm-hmm. okay. Which he is listed mm-hmm. as really a country and Western soul
mm-hmm.
Bluegrass artist. That's what his, because
mm-hmm.
I looked him up. I don't know who he
mm-hmm.
is, to be honest. Okay?
Because
he came on with his guitar and did his thing. I was like, okay, that's cool. Black History Month, Rihanna. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is that where the one thing that I really liked about her show was the floating mm-hmm. stages. I thought that was very creative,
yeah.
something that you
yeah.
would not expect to see at an outdoor event, especially in the stadium like that. I've never seen it. You know, I think go ahead.
No, and when you see the shots of them when they pull back the way the audience viewed it, it was even more fantastic because, you know, we were watching it on TV, so they were only zoomed in on her. We couldn't even see how everything was moving, you know, all at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And the stages were doing choreography as well. So it was That was fascinating to me, too,
yeah.
though, all those dancers.
I saw the clip that you shared.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw that clip that you shared
yeah.
of the audience point of view. So, you know, and you think
yeah.
about it, this
yeah.
is an open field. You couldn't see, really couldn't
right.
see the wires. You just saw the stage and the
right.
up there. Everybody had
right.
tethers on. Well, she had on the tether. Those folks had the dance up there at
right.
whatever, 25 feet, 30 feet in the air. So I thought that was very
mm-hmm.
creative on their behalf,
mm-hmm.
whoever did the stage production. I'm pretty sure we'll
Absolutely.
Probably see something similar in the not-too-distant future for outdoor
right.
arenas. But, I mean, you know, I watched it. I thought it was interesting how she was able to cram so many of her songs into
mm-hmm.
that halftime show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was interesting. It was very interesting.
Yeah,
very
it's
well
just to know
put
what,
together.
What she brings. That's the kind of artist she is. And then at the end to wear the coat bubbly on from the Vogue magazine guys. I thought that was nice. You know, the tribute of, she had on his mm-hmm. That big draped coat that at the end, the long one, that was his. So it was just a
right.
lot of little things that, you know, you miss because we're complaining about.
mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, why are
well,
we so much to celebrate in that moment? Yeah.
Right. We're going to get back into more of your music in a minute, but a couple of weeks ago, I had a couple of guests on. Let's see. It was St. James, Corey D. Williams. That's the son of Billy D. Williams, which Corey is a musician himself, writer, producer. Awesome. He loves doing the funk. And we had a conversation about the difference or the benefits of being independent artist compared to being an artist with a major label. If you don't mind, what's your thoughts about being independent? What is the pros for you to be independent, or what are the cons? Would you want to be with a major label, or are you happy with being independent the way you are?
I'm happy being independent, but it's also a catch 22 because there's a certain ease and a lot less work that happens on the artist's behalf, because I have to do everything, you know, myself. I have to remember everything. I have to remind myself of all my interviews or all my performances and my dates, and, you know, I got to pay this promoter and call this person back because this has to be taken care of. So there's a lot of stuff that the label will do for you, but then there's a lot of freedom that you give up and a lot of control, and you don't, you know, you have to do things that, you know, you don't really want to do, things, songs you don't want to sing, wear things or be something that you don't want to be just to be current. So it's you know, it's a catch 22, but I'm happier because, you know, I can adjust everything, my life around my schedule and my music, and, you know, and I don't have to give up the ownerships of my songs and the rights to everything, and I can, you know, do it at my own pace. Or I prefer it that way, you know. You know, I can get the budget up and just keep working, but I don't want to give up my freedom and the control.
Right. Right. I think, in fact, what you just said is pretty much what everybody else had said, the same thing. You have more control of the direction. You know, when we hear about a lot of artists who don't get the royalty checks, don't get this, that, and the other, I just read the other day about where Nas, we all know who Nas is, gave his daughter credit for writing one of his biggest albums. Now, if that isn't amazing, I don't know if you heard that.
Wow.
But she gets royalty checks.
That's smart. That's really smart.
Did you know that?
Like passing on generational wealth. No, I did not know that.
That's what everybody was saying. Generational wealth. He turned, gave her, just by giving her writing credits of one of his biggest albums, she don't have to worry because it still sells.
Yeah. That's smart.
Still
that's
plays.
So smart. That's looking out. I respect that. I didn't know that. I'm gonna go look that up.
Yeah, I just read it, and I was like, okay. And I kind of wonder how many artists probably are doing it or have done it, maybe have not made it public.
Yeah.
But according to someone said that even in one of his songs, he kind of like hints on that of what he was doing. So good move, Nas. Great move.
Yeah, that was smart.
So, yeah, and still his ex wanted him to still pay child support. That girl ain't got to worry about nothing.
Oh my God.
She didn't need nothing anymore.
That's greedy. I'll tell you. Wow.
You don't get that your daughter for the rest of her life.
So that means it's really
what amazing world we live in, especially in the music industry. Hey, look, what we're going to do, if you don't mind, I want to play another one of your other tracks before I get to the new single. We got some time here. I want to play another one of your tracks. Which one would you want me to play? Only One From Me, Dumb, or Can't Explain, Got It Going On? You pick one of those before we get to him.
Got it going on.
Okay. Hey, you guys, you're tuning to TMGN with our special guest, Mr. Ellison Kendrick, as we have a nice little chat with him, listening to some of his great music. You can definitely find and listen to and purchase, okay, over the internet. And by the way, he's going to share his contact information. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more. Right now, we're going to listen to Got It Going On, and then we're going to listen to Halfway. But here's Got It Going On. We'll be right back. whenever you play that, they automatically say Mary J. They don't know about Barry.
Yeah, it's common now because people don't really respect legends or where things come from. They always feel like stuff just happens now. Everything just started to happen now, you know. So I think if you care about music, you try to ask and you look, you do like you do, you look up things and look on the back of records and look inside the credits and you try to find, you know, you take interest in it and you'll find that stuff out. You just got to care about it.
Right.
Well, I think you did great by using that track because, like you said, it's not Mary J. Blige. And I think I shared this before. I had an argument with my son years ago when he was young. It was TLC, what was it, Get It Up. He said, yeah, that's a new one, Dad, from TLC. I said, no, son, that's an old song. No, it isn't. That's new. I said, no, the music is old, son. I'm telling you. And he fussed with me all the way home. I'm like, hold on a minute. I had to go to my trunk and open up and get out the Time album and put it on and play. And his eyes got wide as silver dollars. I said, that's the original, son. Okay? That's the original.
What did he say? What did he say after that?
His eyes were still wide as silver dollars. He said, that's impossible. I'm like, no, that's it. Read the cover like I used to do. Read the liner notes. Read the cover. No, I had to start educating him. But you know what? He started to question stuff now. Okay, well, back then, he started to question, Dad, is that old or not? You know, no, now that one's new.
That's a good one.
That's not a sample. That's not a remake. Okay, all right. So, but you got to do your homework before you start saying it's new. You know, there's something else to it. But great, man. I love that track, of course. Before we get into the new single, what do you think as far as, and this is something that was crossing my mind this week, there's a lot of artists out there, yourself, many others. I'm friends with a lot of others out there that do R&B. People say, some say R&B is dead. I say, no. People like Ellison Kendrick. People like Joe Levy. They're just reintroducing it. Unfortunately, we don't have R&B stations like we used to. Because back in the day, you guys know that, you know, you would listen to KJLH, you would listen to KDAY, you would listen to, you know, various stations that will introduce you to the new artist, the new music.
Mm-hmm.
Now every black station is just about syndicated, and all they're doing is playing the old R&B, okay, and pop. That's all they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
I work at a Walmart, and what really gets me, which really trips me out, is that where Walmart plays music from the 80s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. They don't play nothing from 2000, which is pretty much the old R&B, right? What do you say about there's not really a major R&B radio station that plays new artists? Whatever happened to that? I remember when I came here to Atlanta, V103, Jen, I don't think you were here back then, but V103 used to do Artist Spotlight, and they would play entire album. Okay, they would play the entire new album of the artist, like at midnight. And I thought that was great. That was fantastic. On Friday night, they played the artist's whole album. That don't exist anymore.
Right.
What's your thoughts about that? You know, because now you have to go to Spotify or iHeart to find, you know, the new generation, if it's okay to say, of R&B artists like yourself.
Mm-hmm. And you have to pay to be found.
What's your thought?
that's so layered. It's so layered because, you know, just corporate America just taking over the music business completely. I mean, they used to play, you know, even local radio stations no longer play the local artists. They don't do that anymore. When I was
mm-hmm.
younger, I remember, you know, having people older than me and they were had a song out. Or Betty, when she put something out, they would play the local, you know, artists from that city. They don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we need someone in power or a significant name should probably start a petition so that we can always, you can protest the station so that we can get the people who don't have the millions of dollars, you know, get played and get introduced
mm-hmm.
and you don't have to search for it on Spotify, which you now have to pay promotion to get pushed up or get a banner or, you know, you got to have, you know, budget to do
yeah.
all these things and to even get noticed. As far as like R&B being dead, wow. I think that because R&B and hip hop has now merged, you can hardly tell the difference anymore. I don't think it's like dead or over. I just think that it's been fused together and the songs, there aren't any more love songs. So I don't even know how, to me, I can't even figure out what is the R&B song anymore, because they all sound like hip hop. You know, they're singing really fast. Because I remember this week everybody got mad at Stephanie Mills because she said that Beyonce is hip hop in comparison to Diana Ross. And I laughed because I thought the same thing. I said Beyonce literally became a rapper. Since she's been with Jay-Z, her whole style kind of, you know, changed. Her singles or her popular songs, it's all that fast, rappy kind of thing that she does, you know. So it kind of fused together, so you can't really tell, especially compared to her first album. So I understood what Stephanie was trying to say. So I don't
mm-hmm.
know. I think when we get more focused on the, you know, love songs again and putting, you know, messages in the music like it used to be, maybe a lane will open up because it's all together. It's now, it says R&B/hip-hop charts. It doesn't, there's no, you know.
Right.
I don't think we have a separate.
Now,
the main chart. So, go ahead. Okay.
But now with that being said, but see, now here's the thing. Well, love songs? Come on, man. You soft. You soft. You no, come on now. Uh-uh. I ain't gonna sit
right.
there and play no love. Man.
Right.
You too soft, man.
But,
you thinking
right.
like a woman, man. You man, you
right.
crazy. I ain't gonna play that type of stuff, man. You know that's back in my
but,
in my mom and daddy's days. See what I'm saying?
But you know that's intentional, and then we're falling prey and we're falling victim to that. We have. I mean, this whole new generation. That there's a song by Cardi B and I think SZA or somebody. The song says, have sex, get drunk, and F love. Take
mm-hmm.
drugs, have sex, and F love. Like, and that's the song that they love. And I'm like, this is what they're trying to do. They don't want us to love each other. They don't want us to express
mm-hmm.
emotion so that we don't see each other as human beings. We don't do, you know, we don't love our community and our people as other people do, and that's the point. It's through the music. They don't, you know, don't only use drugs. They use the music. So no one has. We don't have affection. We don't respect the women. We don't try to do anything that our parents and our grandparents used to do. So it's now not in style, or it's not cool, or it's not merely to love somebody. That's crazy to me. I wasn't raised like that. So yeah, if that's called soft, that's fine. You know, I don't want to be a victim of that, and I think that's intentional only with our community, because there's no country song where they will allow people to say the stuff that they say and they play on our stations and what we, you know, feed to our, you know, our younger generation. So, yeah, it's intentional. It's intentional.
I'm glad you said that because, you know, as we said, which Janet, you know, I've mentioned on the show before when we do talk about music and we have guests on of where
right.
I've never heard a country and western artist or a rock artist have a beef with another artist. Never
mm-mm.
heard them use that in their songs. I've never
mm-mm.
heard AC/DC say hell with Black Sabbath, they can kiss my ass.
Mm-hmm.
You never hear that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They just do their thing and keep
yeah.
it moving.
Yeah.
I've never
no,
heard of any
no.
fights backstage with groups of different groups that were, you know, country groups. I've never heard those stories.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, never.
Yeah.
And so that's that kind of boggles the mind. And like what you just said of where the powers that be are controlling what we hear, what our kids are accepting. Right. How do we make our kids understand you are being programmed to hate one another, which we did have a conversation, or better yet, we had a topic on hate earlier in the show of what's going on. And it's true that, you know, hate loves hate. People open up to hate more so than love. They do. They accept it more. So how do we make that change, you know, through the music that you share?
I think that has to start early, because I think if the parents played it, like I grew up listening to what my parents listened to. So when you hear that in the song and you hear those messages and you hear that stuff, you want more of that. You won't identify with all of that. But if you don't give, you don't introduce that to them, and you kind of let them find their own way, I think it's a responsibility to try to introduce certain things to your kids or to a younger generation so that they understand what's happening, what's happening to them. Just like with hip hop, introduce the older hip hop music wasn't always about this crazy stuff and only this crazy stuff that's going on now. It had messages, and Tupac was rapped about his mother, and people had messages about the life and how it, you know, and how you can get better. It wasn't always negative all the time. Everything we have now we have no options. Everything is negative, you know. You can't even breathe. You're like suffocated with negativity. So I think it's our responsibility to introduce that and let them know that this is intentional programming. They don't want you to have any empathy for your fellow, you know, brother or your fellow black person. And if you don't feel anything, you won't behave right. You won't care about their lives. You'll do things to them that you won't do to other people. And it's really sad. But I don't know how to stop it, because it's a machine. The machine behind it, and we're playing into it, and the radio stations play it, and everybody, you know, no one's protesting. I don't know. We gave up.
Well, the thing is that with this platform, I'm dedicated in playing music like yours, your music, you know, many other guests that have been on. I'm like Steve Harvey. I ain't converting. Okay, I ain't changing over. You know what I mean, I'm gonna always love and respect good R&B, because see, there was songs where you got your point across without being explicit, right?
Right.
It was a play on words. It left something to the imagination. You took it where you wanted to take it. No one had to just tell you flat out, you know. even on my job, it's so crazy. Now, this is what people do at freaking Walmart. Like I said, I work in electronics. Uh-huh. I'm there, and I'm helping a customer. They're asking me about a phone, this, that, and the other. Another customer asked me about a laptop, this, that, and the other. All of a sudden, because we have Bluetooth systems right here, sucking my dudes in a noon dump, I'm like, what the hell? I turn and look. Somebody done paired their phone with one of the Bluetooth devices. I got to tell the customer, excuse me.
Wow.
I got to go over and shut off the system. Come back over to help the customer. It comes back on again. I'm like, this person got to be around here somewhere. And I'm looking around looking for them. Unfortunately, I got to unplug the whole system, right? Because they're probably an hour or two over. I'm like, come on now. There's kids in here. But it's fun to them. It's a joke. You know, I mean, it gets to the point of where just disrespect.
Yeah.
Total disrespect in public. Now, they could go to jail if you were to catch them and actually prove it was them. You can go to jail, because I had to ask AP, hey, look, and I told them what happened. They said, no, if you catch them by the system and see them doing it, we'll look on the camera and we can verify it's them. They will go to jail.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, okay. But instead, I just shut the system down, because I know they're not going to stay there all day long. Does nobody compare their phones to our system? But that's the sadness. It's kiki haha. It's fun time. And, of course, it's probably a kid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's disrespectful. But I'm dedicating what we do here of the play, you know, like I said, this, the music that, you know, that you bring to the table other guests have brought here, you know, and hopefully, mm-hmm. you know, folks will look at where you got to have love. You got to have love songs. And they don't have to be, like you said, those songs where, you know, have sex, drugs, and everything. It's all programmed.
Yeah,
it's programmed. You're right. It's programmed. To have that mindset. It's sad. And for you to, and for people to be followers of that is really more mind-boggling.
No. They don't
Janet,
want
you
it.
Have a comment?
No, just waiting for that song.
Okay.
I love Janet.
Well, guess what? It's coming up right now. So right now I'm going to let Ellison introduce the song before I go ahead. I got it queued up. Ellison, give us a little story. Tell us what we're about to hear now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is a song produced by Trackerson, which is Terrence Rowe, and written by his brother, Tyler Rowe. It's called Halfway.
And here we go.
This love thing doesn't really make much sense. We try our hardest and it seems like we can't win. But I'm your lover and your friend, yeah. And we can get there if we both walk hand in hand. I do my part and you do yours. You make the bed, I'm on the floor. We share the songs and smiles, carry each other mile for mile. Whisper the difference if we need. I'll pay for you, you pay for me. We'll never know if we don't try. Can't be too sure till we decide.
Meet me halfway. And you do yours. You make the bed, I'm on the floor. We share the songs and smiles. Carry each other mile for mile. Whisper the difference if we need. I'll pay for you, you pay for me. We'll never know if we don't try. Can't be too sure till we decide.
Meet me
back to TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, with our special guest, Mr. Ellison Kendrick. For you ladies that are listening to the song, you got to remember, there's no such thing as
Well, what's mine is mine is what's his is mine. Meet halfway, okay? just try to meet halfway. You know, I like the song. First of all, I want to say I love the music box. That's cool. I love that music box. In fact, I thought that was great. Tell us a little bit about the song, though. I mean, meeting halfway. A lot of people don't believe in that. They believe, you know, well, you know, I got mine, you got yours, but what does halfway mean?
Well, I came up with it because I was like, you know, I often have conversations about what's going on, like what you're doing now, and I, you know, you watch social media, you watch reality TV, you hear people on Twitter or things, they say, you know, I'm gonna get to the bag and he can get me a Birkin or pays my rent or, you know, get my hair done, then I'm, you know, I'll break them off a little bit. Like, so it's like they turned all the black girls into pseudo prostitutes. So they're willing to do anything, you know, you got to, you know, take me out to dinner and I'll give you this, and everything is a transaction. So I was just confused. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why isn't a relationship about me, you know, if you can't do this, then I do that. And if you have to cook and I'm going to clean up, and, you know, if you can't cover that, I'll take it the next time I can't cover it, you do it. Like, we're supposed to be in this
right
together. It's not a transaction about how much you can get from them. You're selling yourself and you're selling your soul. And it's like, they're like walking around like zombies with a price tag. So it didn't feel good. So I need to speak to that. I don't think that's how it should be. So if I put something out there, somebody will hear it and it'll affect somebody and they'll change the way, you know, they think about relationships. That's just crazy.
Wow. I'm glad you said that because, again, I work at Walmart. I see everything, okay, especially in the electronics. Mm-hmm. And I have seen some women that be like, baby, you sure you don't want those iPods? Or I'm sorry, those Pros? I'll go ahead and get them. I'm like, well, damn, that's a good woman. He said, well, you sure? Yeah, maybe I got you. You know, I see that from time to time. They're meeting halfway. You know, but then I do see some where it'd be like, I thought you were going to get me this. I don't want them cheap ass things there.
Right,
no, you said you're going to get me the Pros.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want the regular ones. I want the Pros. Well, sweetheart, you lost the pair I bought you last month. That was by accident. I didn't mean to lose those.
Oh, my God.
I know they were $237, but you got it. Right, I see what you said.
Right. And did you see that it was a couple on, I don't know if it was Twitter or something from social media, where the couple was arguing about the cost of a wedding, and she said that I want to spend $250,000 on a wedding. He said, I'm not doing that. We can invest in a business or a house with that money. And she said, you talking about
right.
broke. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. The man just said he wanted to do a business with you and buy property. That's more important than a ceremony for everybody else.
For one day ceremony.
And she said that he was crazy. She said he was crazy, and she don't like the way he's treating her. It's just the mentality for me. I don't understand.
Right, but it's real. It's real. It's not every woman. That's true. It's not every woman.
No,
but
it's
sad.
It's not. But
it's
prevalent though. It's prevalent amongst a lot because it's slowly. I don't see a show or anything. I don't see anything these days or hear a conversation where someone's saying the opposite. Everybody's kind of slowly moving that way, or the men are saying they want to take care of the woman. They don't want the woman, and then that's kind of like control. Or you have to be super insecure that you want to do that, and then she's still for sale because he, you know. So I don't know. I don't understand.
I don't want anybody to take this wrong, but the honest God's truth, I think I shared this with you before, Jen, or you heard me say it before, but a gentleman back in, I think it was in the 80s, he said, Michael, he said, let me tell you something. Now, this is him saying it, not me. He said, all women are prostitutes. I said, excuse me. He said, they're all prostitutes. He said, you think my wife would have married me if I didn't have this, or if I didn't buy this house and that car she driving? It's a change. It's a trade off. You know, I'm like, he said, I gotta spend money in order for her to lay next to me every night. Otherwise, she wouldn't be my wife.
I'm like, okay, that's a different way of looking at it. But that was his point of view, right? Yeah, and I'm like, and I'm laughing, but this is an older gentleman. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Which I didn't agree with that.
That says a lot about how he feels about himself.
Right.
He said that about his own wife.
And I'm like, come on, Pop. It's a little bit more than that.
Poor guy.
No, if I couldn't do all that, she wouldn't be with me. So that being said, let me go ahead and let you share with all the listeners. How do they get a hold of you, or how do they contact you and get a hold of your music?
Well, everything is pretty simple. It's under my name. I kept it simple. Ellison, E-L-L-I-S-O-N, Kendrick, like Kendrick Lamar. That's on my website, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It's all the same name. And you can find all the music, all the videos, everywhere on all those platforms. So come on, follow me. Check me out. Give me a shot. Give me a listen. I think you'll like something.
Well, Ellison, we definitely appreciate you coming on. It's been about a year since you were last here. We thank you so much for coming on this Saturday and sharing with us the new music. And, of course, we're going to leave out with another one of your tracks. Before we go, Janet, any last final remarks?
Yeah, I just love that last song. To me, it was almost like a tropical vibe with the music, and then it switched up. It was really nice. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Janet. Thank you. I appreciate you guys for having
me. And speaking of mopping the floors, I got to meet halfway because my roommate here, she got to do the kitchen tonight. I got to do the floors. So see, this is perfect. I got to clean up the bathroom, which is the worst one.
Play it while you're doing it.
yeah, I'm gonna have to. It's gonna give me some inspiration to keep cleaning. You know, but yeah, I got because women can mess up a bathroom. Trust me. You know, so. Y'all know, man, we just go in there with our little pouch and do our thing, put on our robe, walk on out. Women got stuff hanging everywhere, all over the place.
I think men
curling irons, makeup kits, all that type of stuff. Hey, man, it's like you walk into a laboratory when you go into, a bathroom that you share with a woman.
No,
you're afraid to move anything because something might blow up. You know what I'm saying? Something might catch on fire. You don't know. And, you got to go in there careful, when you go into the bathroom and share with a woman.
You're crazy. That's funny.
Hey, you guys, we hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Thanks to Ellison Kendrick for joining us. I'm going to play two of your tracks because we're going to leave out on that. In fact, I'm going to play all of the tracks, you guys, so I'm just going to extend the time. We're going to play everything Ellison Kendrick to end the show. I added more time. You guys enjoy the rest of your weekend. Again, thank you, Ellison. God bless. We'll see you next Saturday. We do have another great show. I have a young man who is part of the Father's Foundation, what it's like to be a father, a young father, and the responsibility. He came to me and he was like, Mr. Mike, I understand you have a show. Man, I'd love to come on. And he actually wrote out everything for me and gave me this booklet. And I'm like, been reading. I'm like, wow, this is interesting. And he's sharing a little story about him being a young father and what he's had and his, the difficulties that he's going through. He's going to be our guest next Saturday. I think it's interesting, as I've always said, to give the platform to our young people from time to time and hear what they go through. So we're going to do that next Saturday here on TMGS, 6 p.m. Eastern as always, 3 p.m. Pacific. You guys enjoy the rest of your weekend. God bless you all, and we'll see you next Saturday. Good night.
Take care.
Chasing love for so many years, what it really was, now it's very clear, was damaged in every way, until you came and stole my heart that day. Your love is so right, It fixed all my wrongs. Warm like the sunlight, sweet like a love song. I found the most amazing love. I know they probably think I'm crazy, but you're the only one who will fight for me. The only one who truly loves me. That's why I'm gonna sing you this song today. Until there's nothing more left for me to say. For every tear that you help me cry, and every tear that you help me dry, I'm gonna love you more than I did before. Cause you're the only one. Your love is my breath, all I believe in. If it ever left, I would stop breathing. You're the one I'll never trade. Simply to love you is why I was made. They say I'm insane to think this is real. Don't need to explain, I just know how I feel. It's such an amazing love. I know they probably think I'm crazy, but
fight for me.
The only one who truly
fight for me.
That's why I'm gonna sing you the song today.
Oh,
until there's nothing more left for me to say. For every tear that you help me cry,
every tear,
and every tear that you help me cry, I'm gonna love you more than I did before.
Signs and wonders still exist. You are one and I would be
remiss to omit or forget to tell you how I'm long for something like everybody's gossiping, asking what it is about you. I don't know and I can't explain. I don't want to.
The way she walks,
I like that too.
The way she talks,
I like that too.
The way she moves,
I like that too.
I do. The way she cries,
I like that too.
Is it in her eyes?
I like that too.
Maybe the way she dances,
I like that too.
I do.
I can't explain how she makes me feel. I can't explain what I know it's real. I can't explain anything when I know what I feel is true. I can't explain what you do to me. I can't explain why you make me weak. I can't explain what you mean when I know that you feel me too. Can't explain how she makes me feel. Can't explain what I know it's real. I can't explain anything when I know what I feel is true. I can't explain what you do to me. I can't explain why it makes me weak. I can't explain what you mean when I know that you feel me too.
Don't be acting cute. Help me with the style of my black suit.
This love thing doesn't really make much sense. We try our hardest and it seems like we can't win. But I'm your lover and your friend, yeah. And we can get there if we both walk hand in hand. I do my part and you'll do yours. You make the bed, I'm on the floor. We share the songs and smiles, carry each other mile for mile. Whisper the difference if we need. I'll pay for you, you pay for me. We'll never know if we don't try. Can't be too sure till we decide.
Meet me halfway. And you'll do yours. You make the bed, I'm on the floor. We share the songs and smiles, carry each other mile for mile. Whisper the difference if we need. I'll pay for you, you pay for me. We'll never know if we don't try. Can't be too sure till we decide. Meet me
me.